not going away.
Okay, thank you very much.
All best.
Hey, good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio station. Coming up in 15 minutes, we've got flashpoints today, a look at the wave of threats and attacks on Jewish cemeteries and community centers, plus an excerpt from Greg Palace, by author of Personal Experiment. And then wrapping it up this morning, it's Black Book Talk at 11:30. Reviews, works coming up all ahead here, right now, with headlines, interviews, and commentary. Hey, thanks, KBOO members, for your generous KBOO.
KBOO, sponsor of Identities and Futures. Women and non-binary folks speak out March 7th at 7:30 p.m. at Holocene in Portland. Identities and Futures is in DJs, including DJ Kim Fizzy, Lily Croft, Gene Etheridge, Poch. Again, that's Identities and Futures, Women and Non-Binary Folks Speak Out, March 7th at 7:30 p.m. at Holocene, 1001 Southeast Morrison Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Thursday, March 2nd, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your Antifa Fabulous Radio, 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM everywhere. Quote for the day, paraphrase, let's call it a paraphrase. I did not have communications with that man. That would be a little echo of our Attorney General defending himself in the only way he knows how, by lying. The weather first, before we get on with the rest of the show, we are very fortunate. James Henry is going to be joining us today on the air. He had an article back in December, came out, and we talked about that, and it laid out in detail and at length the connections, and they run deep and they run wide between Trump and the Russian in particular oligarchs. It was such a blockbuster of an article that I am looking forward to revisiting that. First, did I say weather? Of course I said weather. I always say weather, right? Today, chance of rain, highs are around 48. And tonight, overcast skies, lows around 42. Tomorrow, dawns bright and rainy with a high around 48 again. And once a little bit chillier, lows around 38 for tomorrow night. That is weather for Cascadia. Keep your pores open to it. It's a lovely thing. It's good we still have weather, right? So James Henry, he is a senior fellow at the Center on Sustainable Investment, Global Justice Fellow, and the list goes on. There's the Kleptocracy Institute. Have a look at that. So many are ventures that he's involved in, all of it, designed to reveal just exactly what we are faced with right now, the extraordinary financial, it's really that's where it would be, financial, well, We don't know yet. It's hard to know what to call it, but it's very likely that kleptocracy pretty much covers it. But it's not an actual legal term. If Jeff Sessions is forced to recuse himself or step down, we don't know what might emerge in his place. We would only hope that a capable replacement might be found. Maybe Kevin Starr will be called back into action. Not that he would be for anybody's first, second, or third choice. That said, it's obviously some illegal doings that have been going on, and they are fairly well hidden. Right now, the Democrats are scrambling to get their information cache stored away in a safe place before the Republicans can go after the Democrats' information cache and store it away in a public place, such as Twitter. That's likely what is going on right now. The Democrats have been raiding themselves for quite a while now, and it's a good thing too because they've got a lot of material. And we'll be hearing from the Democrats' cache of information hopefully very soon. Before James is joining us in just a moment, we've got just a very few headlines to get through. An Arizona bill that sought to prosecute protest organizers in the same way that racketeers were prosecuted is officially dead in the water. Even in Arizona, widespread outcry killed it for state lawmakers to put that aside, though it does bode ill for the rest of the country, where there are even more, there's even greater intent to quash protests and resistance in many other places. And police chiefs are objecting to Trump's efforts to involve them in immigration deportations. And there are grassroots partners discussing local work and participation in there is a campaign on the Joint Terrorism Task Force. This is plural because this is a nationwide effort. It's a move calling Nazi-era policies. Trump is creating an office to track crimes committed by immigrants. That's right, yes. Going after that, and there are mass incarcerations in the coming out of the cornfields, shattered families, and racial profiling in small town America. It's going on everywhere. We may not be seeing it ourselves right now, but it is happening. So the Obama administration is rushing to preserve intelligence of Russian election hacking, and all of this, of course, this isn't underwritten by oligarchs. There is, as always, it's a question of following the money. The article I'm referring to, James Henry wrote a piece called The Curious World of Donald Trump's Private Russian Connections back in December. And this was a prescient piece of work. It's, as I said before, it is in detail, in depth, and following it is a down the rabbit hole operation where you might bump into some Democrats carrying huge file boxes and thumb drives. Good morning, James. Thanks for being with us again.
Hi, glad to be here.
So, referring to the curious world of Donald Trump's private Russian connections, not so private anymore.
I mean, when I wrote that, it was right between, after the election. And no one had really written about all this stuff as a network, So I looked at all of the various deals that he had done and many of the partners that he'd been involved with, and especially in projects where he was a minority investor, not the buildings that he owns outright, like Trump Tower, but, the Trump Soho, where he was a 13% partner, and he got these mafioso types from Queens, Russian mobsters, and a strange crowd from Iceland who were channeling Kazakhstan money into their company. And then there were just a bunch of these kinds of weird relationships. So I sort of pulled that together. This is in the American interest. It's available online. So just Google that article. We've had over 300,000 downloads for that piece. So a lot of people, it's an eye-opener for people to read the whole thing. So anyway, ask me more questions.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's almost, you know, Soviet era spy type read in a way, though, of course, fueled, powered by technology now. So we have the situation where the Obama administration's last day, some White House officials scrambled to spread information about Russian efforts to undermine the election. We all know that. There's possible contacts between associates of Trump and the Russians across government. So because these the connections that that concern Democrats right now, many are the same as those that you have elaborated on in that piece. But separately, American intelligence agencies had intercepted communications of Russian officials. So they discussed contacts with Trump associates. Much of this concerns oligarchs who are of deep connections in the U.S. And if we following the money at this point, where does that take us?
Well, one place it takes us to the new Secretary of Commerce, a guy named Wilbur Ross, who was an investor. You know, he made a fortune doing turnaround management. He's a wealthy guy, but he basically is kind of a vulture capitalist. So in 2013, he decided to invest in this Russian-owned bank that was going belly up in Cyprus, which is a big haven for laundering Russian flight capital and dirty money. And this was the biggest bank in Cyprus. It had done so well in the last decade that it had failed completely because it was taking an awful lot of deposits and making crazy loans based on a lot of Russian flight capital coming into the bank and then lending it out to real estate projects that went belly up. So Wilbur Ross is a good friend of Donald Trump. He helped to turn around his casino business when it was failing in the early 90s and financed the recovery of one of the casinos in New Jersey. Known Donald Trump a long time, very kind of conservative guy, but he's also pretty well known on Wall Street as this kind of vulture role that he plays. He plunges into this bank, spends €1 billion on it with 17, a group of investors. They get 17% of the shares in the Bank of Cyprus. But they look and they see across the table from them, there, Wilbur is a vice chairman of the Bank of Cyprus. Until he resigned this just today, the guy who was the other vice chairman was a former KGB agent who had been appointed to that position as vice chairman of Bank of Cyprus by Vladimir Putin, because when the bank failed, a lot of their deposits, like half of the deposits, were Russian, so they all got shares instead of deposits. And Putin had to make the decision who's going to run the bank. So in addition, he had two other Russian partners in the bank. One of them is an interesting character who bought Donald Trump's house in 2008 in Palm Beach, basically bailed Trump out at the time when he was really desperately short of cash. They spent $95 million on a house that Trump had bought for $41 million. So this is a case where this guy, his name is Ribolovlev. He's the potash king, if you're aware of fertilizer.
It's important.
He can't make it serious. He bought Trump's house for $95 million, doubling, more than doubling what Trump had put paid for it.
Yes,
and that was precisely the amount of money, that extra $50 million, was exactly what Trump needed to pay back a personal loan from Deutsche Bank just then, 2008. So, you know, he's the other partner of Wilbur Ross in this bank.
We're just about at the end of the program right now. That alone is a taste of what to expect in this piece. I wanted also, and I'd like to talk to you again, if you have any time at all tomorrow or next or into next week, I want to ask you about Paul Manafort. Well, because Manafort, that story is yet another textbook case.
Well, I think, look at my report on bcreports.org. David K. Johnson and I put this out, and this is a new report on the Bank of Cyprus. But there's also breaking news today about Jeff Sessions and his lying to the committee about his contacts with Russians. There's a lot of stuff going on here, and I think we're going to have to get a commission together to investigate it.
It would seem that way. Well, however, the in a Trump administration, we'll see what a commission might look like. Thank you so much, and let's talk about Paul Manafort next time. Thanks again. My guest has been James Henry, and we're very, very fortunate to have James join us on the show today. This has been Air Cascadia for Thursday, March 2nd, 2017. Rock Bergeron engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Rock. Derek Crooks is the AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.